We are back on Downtown. It's Tuesday afternoon. It's time to talk basketball, but, well, there's more than just basketball going on, and actually very little of the basketball in the NBA. John Corrales from the Locked On Celtics podcast joins us. Is it too late to go back to the bubble?
Yeah, right. I was going to say, what basketball are we going to talk about? Three straight postponements? If only the bubble were not so cost prohibitive and mentally taxing, they might have done something like that. But at this point, all they're trying to do, and it's, you know, the herding cats type of mentality here. It's too late. The league is in the middle of this season, and they clearly do not want to pause every team. And understandably, for a couple of reasons. One reason is not every team is having a problem, and if you shut everything down, you leave the players to their own devices. And, you know, having given it a bunch of thought here, it might be better to try, at least at first, to keep everything under tighter league control before they just say, okay, come back in 2 weeks. Because players on their own for 2 weeks, we've seen what players with a little bit of freedom becomes. So here we are with new COVID restrictions and not as much basketball being played.
Yeah, the Board of Governors met today. What are some of the new restrictions in place?
So I think of the bigger ones here, essentially what they're trying to do is create an in-market bubble of a sort where players are told you can't leave your house. Unless it's an emergency or what they're calling essential activities. So go to the store, I assume, go to get your groceries, whatever it is. But you can't just be like out and about and saying, oh, I'm going to go grab a coffee or whatever. They're trying to keep you in the house. At hotels, on the road, you're staying in your rooms. There's no more approved restaurants. There's none of that. And there's also no more guests. And this was the most incredible thing. Prior to this, players were allowed to have guests on the road, and they were supposed to be friends or, you know, longtime acquaintances and everything, but there's no policing of that. So we don't know who's been in and out of these hotel rooms. That's done now. So those things are the primary, I think, gates that they're trying to keep. There's some other things about seating arrangements and needing to wear a mask at all times and limiting team meetings and people being tested if they're going to be coming in and out of the house. But those other things are the main elements.
Was it a mistake for the league not to build in some extra time, some off days to be able to adjust?
So the league tried to condense their season and trust their players and staff to do the right thing and understand that if you're careful, then this condensed season, we could just get through it. We'll play our 72 games. We'll fulfill all of our TV contracts. And then by the time the summer rolls around, vaccine will be here. The players' time in line for that vaccine will have come. And by the summer, we hope, fingers crossed, everything will go back to normal or much closer to normal. But that clearly, we can say, yes, I guess it was a mistake. But on the other hand, they haven't released the second half of their schedule. And this is why. This whole thing that we're seeing is why. So they can now make up games that have been postponed, and they can now build a second half of the schedule around the makeup of all of these games.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. A troubling thing that's emerged from this, and you tweeted about it earlier today, is that a number of players have now tested positive for a second time.
That's the troubling thing for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like people, and I think this shows the level of lack of knowledge that we have for this virus. And look, it is a novel coronavirus. That's from the beginning it's new. And so that's why following CDC guidelines has always been important and listening to what the new guidelines are. Because each time something happens, you learn something new about it, and then they have a better idea. So at first it started without masks, and then they said masks, and then they said social distancing, and all of these other things. So now we have this thing, this thinking like, oh, well, I got it. I got the antibodies. I'm good. But you don't know how long do those antibodies last. Is there a new strain that maybe, okay, you had one and you're good, but you, this new strain causes another positive test? There are a number of things that we just don't know. And unfortunately, a lot of players, a lot of people in general, are out there thinking, I've had it, I'm good. I can go do whatever it is that other people can't do because I'm immune. And the fact is that you may not be. You may have been, but you may not be anymore.
It was the ultimate good news, bad news week for Jason Tatum, named Player of the Week, and then testing positive. What are we looking at realistically for his potential return date?
Well, it's about 2 weeks from the initial test. There's a period of time where, if he's asymptomatic versus if he's developed any symptoms, which we don't know if he has or not. Initially was asymptomatic, but it's basically anything COVID-related as far as specific players, there's a media blackout. And unless somebody within the player's inner circle or somebody tips off someone, we just don't know. So there is a testing protocol afterwards. He has to have a certain amount of time, usually a week if it's asymptomatic, where then he can test negative a couple times in a row, and then he returns to a practice situation, an individual workout situation, I should say, where he's monitored. They do heart tests to make sure he hasn't developed a cardiomyopathy that we've seen in a couple of players, a couple of athletes. Once he clears all that, then he can return after another couple of days. So that's why they say 14 days. So generally, if he's asymptomatic, we're looking at a two-week timeline.
And of course, not that it's the most important thing, but a shame indeed that the Celtics were playing arguably their best basketball of the season before all this happened.
Yeah, look, we've been kind of, there's been a lot of consternation around the Celtics about the lineups and some of these mistakes and so on and so forth. A lot of players still trying to figure things out, but the Celtics ended up 7-3. And as of this moment, us talking together, they're in first place in the Eastern Conference. Granted, after 10 games, but point is that after everybody's worrying and sure, legitimate questions about a lot of the things that have been the Celtics have to work through, they still have put themselves in a position to be 7-3 and in first place. So that just means that they have a margin for error here that they can come back, even if they lose a couple of games, whatever. They've worked through enough to give themselves time to integrate other people. Kemba Walker should be coming back at some point soon, but that depends on his ability to practice, and the Celtics have not been practicing on top of everything. So they're in a good spot. After 10 games, they're in a good spot, and it's really the best that we could have hoped for at this point.
There you go. John Corrales keeping us up to date on what's happening and what's not happening for now with the Celtics. Hopefully we'll get back to it on Friday. John, we appreciate it as always. You checking in with us, and we'll do it again next week.
All right. Talk to you then.